Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's now the 8:30 hour, and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday, hosted by myself, Diane Adams. And always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before you to the throne of grace. I pray that everyone had a wonderful week and that things turn out the way that you would have wanted it. Many things has happened in this week, and things will continue to happen throughout our lives. But it is so good that God is on our side. And as I get ready to go into the program tonight, I'm going to play a song that I think is so appropriate, because the title of the song is The Master Plan. And I want each and every one of you to know that God has a specific plan and a purpose for your life. Listen to the words of the song. After the song, we're going to go to the throne of grace in prayer, and we'll explore the word of God together. Be blessed.
Nobody can. Oh, hold on.
that was Tamla Mann, and she sung about God having a master plan. And tonight, one thing I need to ask you, do you believe it? Do you trust it? Do you even know that there's a master plan that has already been designed before the foundation of the world? As God made his creation and everything that he created, he gave a purpose. He had you in mind when he began his creation all the way through eternity. You know, there are scriptures in the Bible. Psalm 139 says that God formed you in your mother's womb. He put your innermost parts in you, and then he took his hand and formed you. And right now we have to go to the throne of grace in prayer. As always, I ask if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, you know, and I'll put your mic on and you could go ahead and pray. So I see that no one has pressed the button, but I know because I can see his number on the phone. Madison is with us tonight. Madison, I'm opening your mic. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
You called in to pray?
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to say anything else on tonight?
I hope you enjoy the lesson and that you can understand it well and that you have more knowledge for God to know.
And you want to pray now?
Yes, ma'am.
You could pray.
God, please bless all these people that is in the program tonight and let them know that they're being blessed every single day, not just today, and that they believe that you're watching over them every single day so they don't feel harm or feel scared that they may be harmed, God. Thank you, God, for just being in our lives and waking us up tonight so we're able to tune in. And thank you for allowing us to have the money to tune in because not a lot of people have phones or a computer, God. Thank you, God, just for doing everything for us, putting food on the table and houses and shelter for people who might not have that much money to get a home, God. Thank you for just allowing us to live happy and that nothing's harming us, and that if it is, that we know that you could stop it, and that we just have to trust in you before anything gets better, God. Thank you, God. And just let the other people know that they're being watched, and please give us the power to let other people know that they're being watched and that they have somebody who's looking out for them and protecting them, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Well, Madison, I thank you so much for that prayer. And I just pray that God keep his hands upon you and build a hedge around you and put favor in your life, dear God. Please help my grandchild, dear God. And I'm asking each and every one of you to pray for him that he goes stronger in the things of God. We have to pray for our children, not just for Madison, but children all over. And I just want to say, Madison, thank you. I'm proud of you. And if you can, always try to call and be with us on the line because God in your life will make a difference. I thank you, Madison. Are you through?
Yes, ma'am.
And if you can listen a little while, you can. And I know it's a school night. But thank you again. And I love you.
Love you too, Mama.
All righty. That was Madison Chambers, my grandson. He's 12 years old. And I go back to some of the programs because I started 4 years ago, and he would call in and he would pray. And I can remember on one of the programs I listened to recently, and I said, that's Madison Chambers, my grandson, and he's 9 years old. And glory be to God, he's 12 now. But we're going to go ahead into our lesson. And our lesson tonight, the title of it is God's Grace is Amazing. And we come in from 2 Corinthians the 12th chapter, the 7th through the 10th verse. And as always, I like to give some background, and the background tonight is going to be about grace. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about Paul, a little bit about the reason Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, and then we'll look at the printed scripture we're going to look at tonight. Well, I want to begin with the definition of grace. You see, the saving grace of God is his voluntary, unrestrained, unmerited favor towards guilty sinners. It's granting them, us, justification. You know, the grace of God justified us. And every minute of our lives, once we accept Christ, it began to sanctify us, which means sets us apart. And it takes and it gives us life instead of the penalty of death, which we deserved. See, we were all sinners, destined to die. And God allowed grace, which was his greatest treasure, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And by grace, we are saved through faith. Hallelujah. You see, it is the free bestowal of kindness on one who has no claim for it. The grace of God is love freely shown towards guilty sinners. It is God showing goodness to persons who deserve only punishment and has no reason to expect anything but that. You know, some people have the spirit that they should receive and they should get and why they should get. And, you know, some people know they don't really deserve certain things, but that their spirit makes them do that. A spirit of entitlement, that's the word I was looking for. You know, but we, you know, just like I said just now, it is God's goodness, and we deserve only punishment, and we should have no reason to expect anything else but God. You see, God has given us what we don't deserve through grace. Grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. And he have an attachment called mercy, which is God holding back the punishment we do deserve. Look at that now. Grace give us what we don't deserve, and mercy hold back the punishment we do deserve. Now, that's like complete. So how could you lose with what God uses? That's fullness. That's completely. One is giving you what you don't deserve, and one is holding back what you, the punishment you do deserve. Look at that. Understand what God is has given us and is supplying to us freely for this life here on earth. You see, grace is not something in which we merely believe. See, and that's the problem. So many people say, I'm saved by grace. They say grace, 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 and they never think anything too much else about it. But grace is not something we merely believe. It is something we experience and should expect as well. If you don't feel or never recognize or thought about the things that are happening in and through your lives is grace, then you can't give grace its proper place. And you can't give God the proper thanks for the grace that you receive because you're not even recognizing that it's grace that's operating and sustaining and holding you. You see, grace, however, is not only the divine act by which God initiates our spiritual life. grace was not, is not just when Jesus died and we received grace, it didn't just initiate our spiritual life, but also the very power by which we are sustained, how we are nourished and proceeds through this life. That's grace. You see, the energizing and the sanctification work of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that you should know that is indwelling in you because you received it once you accepted Christ, it is all by the grace of God. You should know that grace is described, or should be described in your vocabulary, as something that is lavish, that it is the fullness, that it's riches, and God gives abundantly. Yes, it also saves, it sanctifies us, it allows us to understand the word of God. You know, I tell you many times, I can only give you information, but it's the Holy Ghost that's going to give you revelation and illumination. Because you see grace abounding in you, you recognizing that you need that grace to understand the word of God fully. You see, grace give us the wisdom how to apply it. You see, wisdom comes from God, and he only gives it to whoever acts, but he gives it freely. You see, grace is the power that helps us to overcome the temptations of sin and guides us on how to obey God. It is grace that aids us in our service towards others. Some people can't serve because they don't understand grace. They might have it, and I ain't going to say they might have it, because if you accept Christ as your Savior, we all have it, but it's not that the fact that we have it. It's what you do with what you have. It's how you perceive what you got. Do you believe what it does? Hallelujah. For you to get the fullness of grace. It is grace that lifts us up above any disappointment, pain, and suffering. The grace of God is everything that you will ever need in life to successfully live here on earth, and it has the power to carry you through eternity. There's a scripture in Philippians saying, be confident of this thing, that he who has begun a good work in you is able to finish it. You know, after I done said all that, and which it is good, and I know it's good because it's true, but I have to tell you, if you don't believe it's there, there are no ways that you can receive the full benefit. You see, God has done his part, and it's up to you to do your part. The word of God has outlined everything for you. Everything in it is yours for the asking. If you don't know it, you will never expect it and won't ever receive it. You see, grace is mentioned more than 150 times in the New Testament. It is the means by which we receive every physical and spiritual benefit. I'm going to tell you a little story right now I heard, and it makes so much sense, and I hope it could put clarity for you. You see, there was a poor man who spent many years of his life saving money to realize his dream of going on a cruise. When he finally saved and acquired a sum necessary, he bought a ticket. You see, he knew he could not afford the extravagant food on board. He took what he could afford. He brought along with him some crackers and peanut butter. You know, after a few days of observing the other passengers eating luxurious meals, his peanut butter crackers became stale and tasteless. Desperately hungry, he begged the porter to allow him to work for food. The porter answered and said, "Why, sir, didn't you realize meals are included with your ticket? You may eat as much as you like." You know, when I heard that story, I read it, and I looked at it, I really felt that a lot of Christians live like that man, not realizing the unlimited provisions that are theirs in Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that he is good." You know, they go through their Christian life munching on stale scraps. There's no need to live like that. Everything you could ever want or need is included in a cost of admission. And the Savior has already paid the price for us. Hallelujah. Christ paid the price, and we owe ourselves unto him. And I want you to know that Paul, the author of the book of Corinthians, and he also wrote Corinthians 1 and 2, he was writing to the Corinthians in the church of Corinth. The Corinthians was the people, they lived in Corinth, and the church was the church of Corinth. The second book of Corinthians, the book we're in tonight, is written to the assembly that Paul had founded on his first visit to the church, to that city, and he formed the church. You see, Paul had left the Corinthians, but while he was there, he taught about many issues, about the doctrine, about grace, about God and what Jesus had done and salvation and how to live a Christian life, and he gave them doctrine. He did all of this, and they seemed to have comprehended, and Paul left. Now, 2 years later, he learned a great deal, and many problems had arose in that church. Problems with worldliness, internal anger with one another. They had a lot of doctrinal disputes. Sound like a lot of churches today, huh? We wish Paul could stop by. And if Paul was here today, we might write a letter and ask him to stop by. So, you know, many of the things that's going on in your church today, you know, it ain't nothing new. I'm talking about the Church of Corinthians. And it, you know, could have been over 2,000 years ago, and they were dealing with the same problems and the issue. Paul heard it, and he decided to write Corinthians 2. And you see, Paul found himself, after he went there, by them getting, you know, so much out of order and so many new teachers and new preachers had came, and they was teaching all kind of doctrines, you know, and people have a funny way to sometimes pull to something that is new, not that it's good. And people have the Bible say they have itching ears to want to hear what they want to hear, watered down doctrine. And they had even started, you know, accusing Paul that he wasn't all that he said he was. They started questioning his credentials. They even, you know, told him what he was teaching wasn't right. And that's where we at tonight in the lesson. And that was the two pointed out scriptures, you know, where they was barreling up to that. You see, Paul had to begin to defend himself. So what Paul did, he started talking about his accolades, his education. You know, some years ago, Paul said, if you read the scriptures that I actually read in the 11th chapter and even the beginning of the 12th chapter, Paul talks about a vision he had received. He said it's some 14 years ago. He said he don't know if he was present in the body or out the body. You know, he said in plenty of things that he seen he can't even talk about. Come on now, y'all. So Paul starts saying all of this, and what he was doing, he was trying to get them to see that I'm the real deal. You know, Paul, if you know anything about Paul, when anybody was questioning his ability, Paul would tell him, I was taught by Jesus. Hallelujah. I had first knowledge from Jesus himself and how powerful it was because Jesus had already died. And Jesus met him and began teaching him. So Paul was doing all of this, and if you're not careful, you know, it may have appeared that he was exalting himself. And then Paul goes on to explain that his purpose was not to exalt himself. And we're going to go into scriptures, and then you're going to see what I'm saying. 2 Corinthians, the 7th verse. And we're just going to read the 7th verse right now for those who have your Bibles open. It says, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. He's talking about the revelation he had received. And, you know, that was real special because no other man could say and saw what he saw. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in my side, in my flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffer me, lest I would be exalted above measure. And that means when they say exalted above measures is you thinking more of yourself than you ought to, or you walking in pride, or you lifting yourself higher than you should be. And even with pride, it's like taking some glory from God. So that's what happened in this scripture. And he said that the messenger of Satan to buffer me. So he's saying he have a thorn in his side, and it was a thorn that was delivered, maybe not orchestrated, because God may have allowed Satan to use this at this time so that he could get across to what he wanted Paul to know and do. You know, God will allow Satan to touch you now. He may not orchestrate it, but he may allow Satan to deliver it. But in it, he's going to be working it out together for your good. Because God used everything he created. You see, Paul is saying that God allowed the messenger of Satan to buffer him. He realized that God did it to keep him humble so that he wouldn't exalt himself more than he should. Paul was talking about a vision that God had allowed him to see. It wasn't as boasting or bragging. He did not give them this information to exalt himself, but to exalt the power of God's grace. Paul was letting them know, I'm real. I'm not faking. I'm not trying to take nothing from you. I'm not giving you no watered down things. He said, you know, and he was just using what he had to try to get them to see. You see, this lets us know that God uses whatever he wants, how he wants, when he wants to mold us into his intended purpose. Yes, there will be trials, tribulation, and adversities, and they are all a part of, as that record that I played early, his master plan, and it's necessary to accomplish his intended end for our lives. Now, some people may not know that their lives has been a part of the master plan. They may not know, or they may believe God is creating for them today. But you see, if we go in the Bible and we go all the way back to the Old Testament and we stop by Jeremiah 29:11, and it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord." This is God's talking. He said, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." And when he gave that to Jeremiah, for the people, you were included. But if you didn't read it or you don't know it, then you can't achieve it. Hallelujah. You see, many times we encounter uncomfortable circumstances in our lives and don't understand why. But nothing happened unless God orchestrated or allowed. And in the midst of them, you have to realize that he's working it out for your good. And no matter which way your road turns, take the turn, hold on, and trust God. You see, and if we read the next verse, 8 and 9, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." And that means three times. "That it might depart from me." This is Paul talking about the thorn in his side. He said he kept going to God to move it. The thorn, you know, Paul had a thorn in his side, and all of us had a thorn in our sides, and many of us still have thorns in our side that we pray and ask God to remove them. Some things we had asked for over our lives, they was moved instantly, and some things look like we can't get rid of in our lives, even though we know it shouldn't be there, even though we know we don't want it there, and we feel like there's nothing we could do, and that's not the answer, but because we just weak. And I didn't say you, I say we. "But for this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." That should make somebody shout tonight. He said his strength is made perfect in weakness. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my..." This Paul, after Jesus told him that, if y'all got your Bibles, you see the writing in red, and Jesus is talking to him, and he say, "My grace is sufficient for thee." That's not Jesus talking, I'm sorry, because, yeah, that's Jesus talking. "My grace is sufficient, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." And I was fixing to say it wasn't Jesus talking, but he was dead. He wasn't dead. That Jesus was dead, but Jesus was talking to Paul. And it says, "Most gladly, therefore I rather glory in my infirmities, this is Paul talking now. And he said, "I'd rather glory in my infirmities." Come on now. "That the power of Christ may rest upon me." He said, "I'd rather take my licks," because, you know, the word of God had already said that while you are weak, his strength will carry you in your weaknesses. So Paul is now realizing that even when I'm weak, you are strong. You see, Paul speaks about a thorn in his side. What was the thorn is not known. It could have been physical, spiritual, or in the form of temptation. The Bible don't say what the throne was. Hallelujah. But he had a thorn in his side, because Paul says it in his scripture. So we don't know what it was, but he had this thorn, and he asked God to remove it. And three times Paul appeared to God to remove the thorn. And three times the Lord said no. Have you ever asked God for something and it just seemed like the answer is no? Paul, God always answers. Sometimes it's yes, no, and not now, delayed. Hallelujah. But, you know, three times Paul said the Lord told him no. He prayed persistently and faithfully. And, you know, at that point, he might have thrown his hands up that the same way we should and said, not my will, but thy will, Lord. He learned that God's purpose would be better accomplished with the answer no. Jesus now speaks to him and says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Jesus. I mean, how could we lose with the stuff that Jesus used? You know, we have to realize that most things in our life is not predicated on our strength, but he is. You know, you might think you all that in a bowl of chips. You might think you self-made. You might think you did it all by yourself. And I could give you one thing to help you realize if you anyway in that, you know, state of mind. Whatever you have, God gave it. And whatever he gave you belongs to him. And we only stewards. If you got a good education and got a good job, if God don't wake you up in the morning, oh well. So we have to realize that. That's why I said all earlier that God paid the admission and everything is included in the ticket. And Jesus paid the price. For we owe ourselves unto him by being obedient, loving on one another, putting God first, using his master plan as our compass for life, obeying the word of God, and being the best that we can be. You see, he let him know that his strength is made perfect in weakness. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible say, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord Almighty. There are things that we may be asking for, things we are asking to be removed from our lives. But God knows how to motivate or stimulate us in the direction he wants. He is always arranging and rearranging the matters of our lives to line it up with his will. God's grace is sufficient, guys. You might not understand the what or why, but if you trust that God knows best and that his grace is sufficient and believe that no weapon that formed against you will prosper. And I didn't say nothing will form against you, because even though you accepted Christ and you are a Christian, God did not promise you a rose garden. And God did not tell you that nothing is going to come your way to hurt home or even danger you. He said, it ain't going to be all roses. He said, but I got you. He said, and there's certain things in this world that the world going to throw on you. He said, but you live in the world, but you're not of the world, and I got you. You know, there's a scripture in the book of James say that count it all joy when divers of temptations come your way. He didn't say if it comes your way. James said when. But I have to tell you tonight, God's grace is amazing, and his mercy endures forever. You know, if you keep studying and praying and putting precept upon precept and trusting God, your Christian vision is going to get brighter and brighter as the day goes along. You know, they say Jesus is the light of the world, and Revelation speaks about the city that they won't need no sun because Jesus is just that bright of a light. That's the same way that light should be shining brighter in your understanding and your wisdom in the things of God, which makes you, which establishes you and settles you. And that's how you could be like a tree planted by the water and not easily be removed and pray and put it on the altar and take it back and then you worry. You know, the Bible tells us that Christians shouldn't be worrying. We could be concerned. And I know we human and everybody reacts differently. But let that light so shine. The light of Jesus, because he said where there's light, there can't be no darkness. God wants you to know tonight that his grace is amazing and his grace is sufficient. And he's a God of enoughness. And there's nothing you ever need that he doesn't have it. And he's able and he's willing to do exceedingly and abundantly more than you could ever think or act. But you got to trust him. You got to ask him. You got to talk to him. You got to study him. And he will see you through. If I go to the 10th verse, Paul now says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You see, Paul now understands and says, I take pleasure in these things. He knows when he is at his weakest point, God is right there in the middle of everything that is going on through. That he's going through. And he realized he's maybe going through, but he's going to where God wants him to be, the expected end. So when you think you're going through, realize many times you're going to. And you know God said he has an expected end for you. You should try to know it, and you should try to reach for it, and you should try to be a part of it, and you got to learn how to bask in it, and you got to let God have his way, trusting and knowing that he is able. Paul now can stay in strong by holding on a confession of his faith. In a sense, you know, these two verses sum up everything that could ever be said about our sufficiency in Christ. And that his grace is truly amazing. To some measures, even unbelievers benefit from God's grace. You know, if you talk to many theologians, they call it common grace because it is common to all mankind. You see, common grace is God's continual care for creation, providing for his creatures' needs. Through common grace, God restrains humanity from utter debauchery and maintains order and some sense of beauty, morality, and goodness in society's consciousness. But you see, Christians, however, receive a greater grace. But you got to know it. You know, a lot of people say, you know, I don't care when I die. You know, they say, oh, they're going to have many mansions and you're sending up timber and you're getting crowns for your glory. Say, I don't care about all of that. I just want to get there. See, it's almost sound like they just standing on common grace because they don't know the fullness of God's grace. God's amazing grace and how sufficient it is, not just for over there, but right here and now. You see, grace is more sufficient for our every need. It is a relationship with Him as we deeply begin to trust Him enough to draw Him to you during your times of difficulties. You can contend to endure weakness, insults, and persecution for Jesus Christ's sake, so that you can be spiritually strong, physically, even when you emotional weak. You know, as I close tonight, you know, I now understand why Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient." Because Christ's grace is the vehicle by which He gives us everything we need to get through some of those trials, to resist temptations, and to overcome obstacles. You see, when we are weak, He gives us His power. When we are poor, He gives us His riches. God's grace is sufficient. He's able to take care of any of your needs. It's what God has given you, as I said earlier, voluntarily. It's a free gift for all that believe. You know, I believe we're living in a dispensation of time where God's going to say no excuses. There's not going to be one person that can go before God and say why you didn't. You know, they might go and say it, but God's answer going to be the same all the time. I did it all. You just didn't recognize it. So tonight I ask us to begin to recognize, open our eyes and our ears, our hearts, our minds, and our soul to realize the abundantness of grace that God is bestowing on us every minute of our lives. Every time we take a breath is grace. Every time you get out of the bed and walk is grace. Every time you could still hear, it's grace. Your finances, it's grace. Your home, it's grace. All of it is God's grace. And when we truly, truly understand it, only then will we be able to give God the proper glory He deserves. God created everything for His glory. And I pray that we each and every one of us begin to allow ourselves to be an instrument striving to give God glory with all that He has done, what He's doing in our lives and has promised to do. God deserves the glory. And that's our program for tonight. And if anyone would like to make a comment, pray, sing a song, talk about grace and favor that has been bestowed on your life. You know, I got a caller. Caller, your number is 504-621. Your mic is open. You could begin to speak at this time.
Hi, it's you, Nyan. How you doing?
Hey, I'm fine, baby.
Yeah, my phone be accidentally pushing the buttons, but I'll say hi because I am listening.
I sure do appreciate that. That's my niece, Monica, and she lives in California. And by accidentally pushing a button, you know, I know you was on the line. So right there, for me, is encouragement. And I pray that you continue to listen And I pray that the words that God gives me for the people, for this program, that it will enrich your life. And I want you to know that God's grace is sufficient. And even though it may not look like it, feel like it, or taste like it all the time, God is right in the middle of your situation, and he's working it out for your good. You just have to trust him. I love you, Monica, and thank you for calling in, and I'm glad your phone was acting up.
Thank you, Tina.
Good night,
I
darling.
Right,
I love
you,
too. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Would anybody else like to speak at this time? Anybody would like to pray or do the benediction? Do you, anybody have a praise report? I want to tell y'all that one of our listeners passed away this Saturday. Plenty of times we was praying for Elise Art, and a couple of weeks ago her husband called into the station, and he made some comments. I don't quite remember what we was talking about, but he called in, and it was a pleasure to hear him speak. Well, Sister Elise Art passed on Wednesday, and we had been, hopefully you guys been praying for her because she asked a prayer request, and now we have to continue to pray for the family. So I'm asking everybody to pray for the Art family, OTT, that God keep them strong and be with them in the loss of their loved one. You know, it's hard for people when they lose someone, you know, and they need the prayers of people. So she was one of our listeners. She passed on Wednesday. She's going to be buried in, her services are going to be in New Orleans at Greater Liberty Baptist Church, 1230 Desire Street. They're going to have a visitation at 10 o'clock a.m., and the service is going to be at 11 o'clock a.m. But keep Elise Art family in your prayers. Her husband's name is Mr. Jerry. Some years ago, he made a song, and I played the song on a program one time. I'm going to have to try to locate it and play it again. But keep the family lifted up in prayer. Would anyone else like to say something? It's now 9:24. We have about 6 minutes, but we can close right now. But if anybody would like to say something, you can do it. If someone want to lead us out with prayer, you can. If you, you know, we got 6 minutes and nobody have nothing to say, so I'm going to tell y'all this. You know, and how I selected this lesson. You know, recently in my life, I don't know if I'm looking for God more or God's presence is stronger, or just what it is. But the other day, Saturday, the same day, I went to Miss, well, I'm not going to tell my story today because somebody pressed their line. The caller is area 504-231-93. Your mic is open. You may speak at this time.
Good evening. This is Reverend Lucia Parker. How are you tonight?
I'm doing fine, darling.
That's good. I'm running around helping kids with homework, washing and cleaning up, and listening to the lesson all at the same time. So I just wanted to get on the line and say thank you for your diligence and your faithfulness in doing the study every week. I really enjoy it. I continue to enjoy it, and I wanted to just tell you to be encouraged and thank God for the time of study with you all and with you and everybody else that's on the line.
Okay, so you're a minister?
Yeah, I'm the lady. I met you.
I know who you are, but I'm just saying you're a minister, and I didn't know if you had a church. That's
no, I'm an associate minister at a church.
You want to say your church?
Yeah, Christian Unity Baptist Church on Claiborne and Contact. Reverend Dr. Dwight Webster is my pastor.
Okay. 100 block of Claiborne?
It's on the corner of Claiborne and Contact, across from the auto pound, where they tow the cars. You know where they tow the cars to on Claiborne?
Right.
1700 North Contact.
Okay, because I think I know what you're talking about. And
yeah.
I think I've been there. Because I may want to fellowship with you one day. Because you fellowshipping with me, we got to reciprocate.
Absolutely. There's parking underneath the church.
That's where
I know
because.
Yes.
And my cousin-in-law was buried from there, Eartha.
Oh, yes, Sister Eartha had the floral shop.
Right, and we all came over there. That's why I'm familiar with it.
Yeah, I used to patronize her business, her and her husband. I'm trying to think of his name. But they were very, very faithful to their mom. And, you know, during her time of illness, they took the son. I remember how the son took such good care of her and the husband, you know, and the daughter
right.
as well. Mm-hmm.
So what time your service start?
Sunday school is 9 o'clock on Sundays, and worship starts at 10. And we also have Bible study on Wednesdays before you come on, and that's at dinner starts at 5:30. 5:45, we have a meal. Everybody brings something. It's a, you know, potluck situation. And then we go into a study, and it's over at 7 o'clock, no later than that. And right now we're studying the book of Genesis. We're on chapter 12.
Okay, good information. And I'm glad this conversation came up because even though we are Bible studies, I do not I always let people know this is not a substitute for church.
Right.
And different people, some people, I don't know everybody who's listening on the line, they may be looking for a church home and might live around the corner from there. And this could, you know, perk their interest. So I'm glad for you to share the information. I'm going to write it down and I'm going to have it. And I go to Greater Liberty Baptist Church, 1230 Desire. Dr. Calvin Woods Jr. is my pastor, and we have services on Sunday too. So we can start saying that because somebody listening may need a church home.
Right, you're absolutely right. And when do you all have Bible study?
We have Bible study on Tuesday, 11:30 in the morning and 7 at night.
Just making a note.
Okay, I'm so glad you continue to call with us, and I'm so glad that God allowed us to meet the way that we did, and we know now it was not an accident. So you be blessed, and it is now 9:30. And we're going to have a prayer and a benediction. Would you like to leave? Well, I got another caller, so let me get that one. Caller 504-205, your mic is open.
Hi, I just wanted to say hello to everyone, and I want to thank you so much for this message. I'm the young lady that you also met at Office Depot.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is my first time. I follow along with the different verses that you give us when you send a text message, but this is the first time I was able to sit down and await 8:30 with my Bible open and my notes. And when I heard my friend open her mic, I had to speak. So I just wanted to say hello and thank you for this wonderful message. Thank you for the great work that you're doing and the lives that you're touching. And you gave me so much to ponder on, and I thank you for that. I thank you for what you're doing. May God bless you for what you're doing. I had to say
thank you so much, and
thank
I thank you for calling in, and I thank you guys for encouragement because, you know, I've been doing this every Wednesday that God allow, and it's about at the four-year mark, and I always, you know, you always wonder if you're giving a message or is it making a difference or if people want something else or, you know, it's something else you need to do and you never, you know, hear from anything. And, you know, but, you know, I mean, it's not that it will stop me, but, you know, it will, you know, everybody needs encouragement sometime or another because we're human. And I thank you for calling in and I thank you for the encouragement and I pray that this won't be your last time.
No, it won't. It won't. It won't. It won't.
Okay, thank you. And now it's the 8:30 hour. I try not to keep y'all because I don't want to say, want you to say, oh, Sister Diane kept us on the phone so long. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the caller at the 504-231, Ms. Parker. Can
yes.
you hear me? Can
I
you
can.
Lead us to the throne of grace?
I sure
as
can.
As we close. Thank
I
you.
I sure can. Father God, it is in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ, Lord, that we come to you this Wednesday night, O God, with joy in our heart, God, and rejoicing, O God, on our lips, and God, praise in our hearts, O God. Our cup truly overflows tonight. God, we say thank you, O God. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. God, we thank you for the word that you continue to give us, O God, to feast on, that nourishes, O God, our soul, that helps to heal our hearts, O God, and encourages us, O God. We thank you for the mighty word of God. Lord, we thank you for the move that's going forth from this prayer line, O God, where people's lives are being saved and transformed. God, we thank you for your transformation power in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for my sister who leads and facilitates this Bible study, O God. We thank you for her heart. God, she has a heart of compassion. She's open. She's patient, O God, and she's thorough in the work that you have assigned her heart and hands to do, O God. And I ask that you give her everything that she stands in need for. Now, Lord, for everyone who is on the line tonight, Lord, I continue that you continue to bless us, that you continue to keep us, God, that you continue to encourage us to look to you, who is indeed the author and the finisher of our faith, O God, and we thank you for that. We thank you for the presence and the power of the Holy Ghost. God, we thank you for your mercy, and we thank you for grace. Now, Lord, as we leave this call right now, we're leaving the call, but we're not leaving your presence, because we know and believe that those who confess you as Lord and Savior, you are always with us and in us, and we thank you for that, O God. Now, Father, until we meet again, let us study your word. Let us learn your word. I pray that your word will continue to illuminate within our souls, so that we can go out into a dark world and spread the love of Christ. Now, Lord, thank you right now. Until we meet again next Wednesday, I say thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your grace, your love, your forgiveness, your tenderness. And it is in the name of Jesus, the matchless monarch of the universe, who is still sitting high on the throne and changing people's lives. Lord, that we say thank you once again. Thank you and amen in the name of Jesus. And the people of God say amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, sweetie. I love you, and I received that prayer, and I needed that prayer. You see, sometimes people don't realize when they go to give the word of God, they don't know what God has for them there. So I say to you, thank you. And that's what fellowship is all about. Well, it's now time to end the program tonight. And if it's God's will, we'll meet back on Wednesday. But until then, let's pray for one another. Let's stand in a gap for one another. Let's be kind to one another. Let us show love to one another, and let us go to God the way that he expects us to, that we may receive what he has for us in Jesus' name. Good night, everybody, and be blessed.